Thanks for listening to the Revival Today podcast with evangelist Adalys Shuttlesworth. To stay connected, check us out on Facebook and Instagram or online at revivaltoday.com. Now, here's evangelist Adalys.
Let me just inappropriately drink this, even though I had all day. I've had a little too much coffee. Got the jitters. Love. Okay. Let's do this. Welcome to the broadcast. Hello, everybody. We are talking today because I've got a couple of messages that I want to talk to you about. Not a couple of messages, but a message is on my phone. And I've got two wonderful testimonies. I got so many books up in this piece. Hold on. Okay. I've got two testimonies. And I feel to share with you because yesterday's podcast was a venting program about marriage, protecting the marriage, protecting the home, coming, becoming more unified as partners. I didn't say all this, but you know, that's just I'm summarizing the whole thing. Is that a word? I don't know, Colleen. Thanks, Colleen. So anyway, I want to share two testimonies for those of you that are maybe having marital problems. And in fact, I am going to answer another question in regards to marriage problems in the home today. That's why I've entitled this, Persistence is Not a Feeling. And I'll read you the message. And I'm of course, not saying the names of these people for their protection and because it is none of your business who they are. Okay? Hi, Christy. Okay, that's the question. That's a picture I sent of myself to Magali. Okay, here we go. Her name is LaShonda. Do we know a LaShonda? No. Is there a LaShonda? Do we know a LaShonda? Yeah, it's not LaShondia. I know her, and it ain't her. So, here we go. This is the first testimony. Can I tell you, I listened to the venting broadcast today, and let me tell you, she's sassy, this one. When my husband and I got married, he fell into some things. And I was like, what? See, I'm already relating to this lady, LaShonda, even though her name is not LaShonda. But we're here, you know. Just, I love it. And I was like, what? But God, I heard you guys say that a woman that had a husband who abused alcohol used to come home and speak life into her husband's spirit. So I started to do that. Sometimes it would feel so unnatural to say things contradicting my circumstances. But then my circumstances began to reflect and line up with what I was saying, exclamation mark. There have been countless testimonies in my life since I was introduced to Revival Today, but this by far was the best. My marriage is the best it's ever been. Our relationship with the Lord is the best it's ever been. Those chains fell off of my husband, never to return in Jesus' name. And I am eternally thankful that I was given practical steps by you guys to follow to see my home transformed. There were days where I was beside myself, but the story didn't end there. It was honestly easier than what I had imagined. Come on, somebody. Rejoice with her. Give a clap emoji. Okay, go ahead. Rejoice with the pretend name LaShonda girl here. In under a year, God turned things around for us. What some people never get free from their whole lives. Hallelujah. This is a testimony by LaShonda. And for those of you that are on podcasts, I'm doing the Gary V quotation. LaShonda. Okay? So there's that one testimony of how God in under a year restored her marriage. Why? First of all, she was persistent. And I want you to understand, even I had read that a couple of times because it's awesome. But one of the things that I like just stood out to me even reading this testimony is that, you know, it was a hopeless situation. And she felt like giving up. But she didn't. And there were days where she was beside herself. You know what beside yourself is? You acting crazy. You about to go crazy. You beside yourself. It's just you. You're just standing next to you, looking at you, thinking like, yeah, I'm crazy. I'm not. This is not good. This is not working in my favor. But she never allowed herself, after she found out the practical steps, she never allowed herself to say anything contrary to that. In fact, she began speaking to his spirit. And hello, in under a year, her marriage has never been better. And her husband never been better. Never more godly. Every day. She persisted. She fought through the feelings of giving up. And she said, this is something worth fighting for. And LaShonda, you go, girl. Big ups to you for doing that. This is what makes this awesome. Like, to me, I love testimonies of miracles and everything. But the greatest testimony for me in my book is somebody who, like, you know, we made mention of something, a practical step, and they saw it with their own eyes because of something that they did. You know, your faith produces something. And that to me is the greatest testimony. When you pushed your faith into action and it actually benefited you, you actually saw the miracle. Don't give up, ladies and gentlemen. This one is from Delilah. Dang it, I don't. It's not Delilah, but you know what I mean. That was the first name. So Delilah, quote unquote, sends this and she says, so glad you're back and teaching again. What an incredible word today. I can testify to being that woman who wasn't mature enough to see what a gift God had placed or what a gift God had blessed me with in my husband. I went to several Christian women who would tell me to just leave because I was so unhappy and he just didn't understand me. But oh, how good my God is. He changed me. He gave me a love for his word and a hunger to serve him deeper and deeper. And I pray that God would give me love for my husband. So I started praying for him and asking the Holy Spirit to speak to him. Wow, what a change in our lives. It really wasn't him that had the problem. It was me, exclamation mark. M-E, capital M, capital E. I wasn't doing it right. Praise God, he got a hold of me. So there's another, that's the second testimony that said, you know what? It was just like an emotional thing. You know what I mean? At the time, I'm thinking like, he's not getting me. We're not communicating right. And he's the problem. And it's always you, you're the problem. And very, very seldomly, especially when you're in that kind of a relationship, does each person look at themselves in the mirror and say, what can I do different? You know what? This communication thing isn't really working out. So what can I do different? It's always, they didn't do this and they're not understanding. And if once you understand that you have to put the other person first in your life, that's how a marriage is going to work. That's the only way a marriage is going to work. In fact, because if there's even still like a little bit of selfishness, if you want to argue just because you want to be right, no. You can't do that. You can't allow yourself to just want to be right, want to be in control all the time. That's, I'm telling you, especially for you ladies out there. I know that some of you guys are feeling the conviction of the Lord, and that's okay. The conviction should lead to repentance of that kind of behavior because it ain't right. It ain't right. These two ladies were like, you know what? There's something that I can do. And so they did it. And the first one, LaShonda, she even said it didn't even seem natural. It was weird. Yeah, to have to speak to my husband like he's all that. Even though I know there's some issues. Uh-huh. Drinking that tea. And so we want to be right. We want to be like, no, you're in the wrong. Like somehow that's going to benefit you. You're two become one. That's you. How about that? How about them beans? How about them apples? See, there's another idiom that I just screwed up. How about them beans? Because I like me some beans. I like me some frijoles. Okay? And I like them the Mexican way. And I'm pointing over there to YouTube because Merari's over there. But I do like me some gandules. How you like them gandules? And so, you know, you attack your husband, you attack your wife, and really you're just attacking yourself. You're bringing yourself to a demise. Why? Because you want to be right? Because you want to have the last word? That ain't what it's all about. This is a partnership. This is a commitment. This is a covenant. Don't give up and quit. And they were persistent. Here's the question for the day. I love your questions. If you have questions, send them over to me. I'm on Adala Shuttlesworth on Instagram. I don't read Facebook messages because this is now becoming crazy. On Facebook, it's like, no, I was not in that video. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Did you do this video? Were you in this video? I had like a 2 dozen messages. Is this you in this video? It's like, no. That's not me. And I'm not gonna answer any more Facebook messages, okay? This has become MySpace. Along with the gifts of butterflies, praying hands with glitter all over the image. You can have that. I'm sorry for all you seniors out there that be sending me that. But, you know, I'm just not going to open messages and Facebook anymore. So anyway, Instagram and Adala Shuttlesworth. That's Instagram for me. And Adalis at revivaltoday.com. What about Twitter? Brittany, you know, you can write that on Twitter too. Any questions on Twitter, I will take. I like Twitter. I don't hate on Twitter. I forget about Twitter sometimes, though. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to lie. So here's the question. I love you guys. Thanks for tuning in. You are listening to Adala Shuttlesworth podcast. Okay. So this one here is from Vivian. Vivian. Okay. So Vivian says, quick question. I don't like to ask this kind of stuff, but it's been rough. My husband and I, we got married in 2016. And for about a year and a half-ish, it's been rough. He was talking with another woman, and we've been close to divorce. He won't go to church, and I'm trying to carry the whole load of keeping our family together. We have one child, and he has other children. And I've been praying and fasting for him from another marriage. And I've been praying and fasting for him and for us for years now. And I feel like it's getting worse, not better. I give and give and try so hard, but get pooped on. I get crapped on, she says. I like that. Just be real, hashtag real. I get crapped on. She doesn't like being crapped on. That's okay. No, that's okay. Go ahead. And treated like I don't matter. Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to get crapped on and then treated like you don't matter. And someone said, been there. Mm-hmm. Over there in the comment section. My heart is broken and I don't know if I can go on. I don't want to be treated like this anymore. I feel alone and far from God. How do you keep the strength? How do you keep going when you see no change? How do you trust when you've been lied to over and over again? I know I have to just keep pressing on, right? It's a couple things. Vivian, there's a couple things here. First and foremost, just the number one thing that I like gravitate towards is the what I see that is lacking. And I can see why it's lacking because of your description, right? But the one thing, it's almost like, I'm poor. You know, that like people think of that it's cute, like to say that when you're in Bible school, and it's like I cringe, you know, it's like, oh, like when somebody says that kind of stuff, that's like anti the word of God. Oh, like I innately kind of like put my shoulders up to my ears and like my eyebrows go past my hairline, like a cartoon character. But one thing is that really kind of like drew me in is my heart is broken and I don't know if I can go on. I don't want to be treated like this anymore. And then it says, I feel alone and far from God. I feel alone and far from God. That's one of the things that I'm like, because if you are feeling alone and far from God, we already know what that answer is, Vivian. You know where I'm going to come at that from. You should never, ever feel like you're alone. That's why, you know, people, just like the other two women had like, you know, given it. That's why I read the testimony before I even answered this question. These women had the empowerment of God's word, because we aren't just telling you things like off the top of our head. We're not that smart, yo. I can tell you that much. But what we do give you is the word of God and practical steps to take because of the word of God and how it instructs us to live. And so when I see those things, I feel sad. My heart feels sad for people that feel alone and that they just can't make it, because you don't know the power that's on the inside of you. The power of every believer. It's a real thing. That's a real power. It's a real strength. And there's no hopelessness when you're full of the Spirit of God and you're full of the presence of God. And that's why I say that's what stood out to me out of the entire message about being crapped on and this and treated badly. That's the one thing I'm honing in on, because it's incorrect. Because if you're a child of God and you feel alone, then you've got it messed up. You've got it mixed up. And so if you ever feel that way, then now forget about the husband situation for a moment. What you ought to do is get filled with the presence of God, because it's in that moment, in the presence of the Lord, that's where you're going to find the courage to face another day. That's where you're going to get the wisdom to address the problems with your husband, because persistence is not a feeling. It's not an emotion. I feel alone. That's what I have to say about that. It doesn't matter if you feel it or not. It doesn't matter if you feel the anointing or not. You're anointed. It doesn't matter if you feel God's presence. He's there. If you're a believer, he's there. So you've believed a lie. And it's not the word of God, because the word of God, and we've already read it. If you haven't listened to today's broadcast online, do it. It's the continuation, part three of Victory Through Challenge. And yesterday, part two. So if you've not listened to it, go take a quick listen, because God has never left you. In fact, he says he's never left you. I've never left you. I've never forsaken you. And when you declare those things, it's anti-scripture. So there's a problem. That's the problem. And so, you know, people want to think that like I've done everything I can, but the truth is you have not. You have not done all you can because of statements like that. I feel alone. And like, God, no. So then you haven't done all you can. Because if you knew the power that comes forth in the secret place and the download, the deposit that you get from just being in God's word and in his presence, you make that a priority, concerning yourself of that one thing, the presence of God, everything changes. And that's why I'm a call people on their bluffs. And I'm not saying, Vivian, you're bluffing. I'm not saying that. But I am addressing the situation. I am addressing, and most of y'all are like, I am never going to contact her with a question again. But I'm saying this to help you, because I hate, you know, to see people go through things where they, you know, when really they're just believing a lie. They're believing a lie. They're saying yes to the devil and no to faith in God. That's ultimately what it is. And so we have to know, we need to know that it's not over. There's something, if it hasn't worked in my favor, then there's something, I've got to change the technique. Then I can't be doing it the same way. So obviously if my prayers haven't worked, if my fasting hasn't worked, if what I believe is seemingly I've done everything, yet I feel alone, yet I feel far from God and I feel like he's not answering me, then there's, honey boo boo, there's something that you ought to do. Close the door behind you and get alone with the Lord. And he will direct your path. He will direct you up out of that mess. But it begins there. It starts with that, knowing that you are empowered, you are equipped. God is, and he said it in his word, it's all there. You lack nothing, and I'm going to read it. You lack nothing. And see, it's that general notion that I am complete, I am made whole, everything I need is in me right now. It's not something that I have to take in the future. It's available to me right now. Now I got to hone in to what that is. I got to figure out what that is. And Lord, I trust that you will direct me in the correct way, because I'm not losing this marriage. And in fact, I find it so amazing that LaShonda said in that first testimony, it was way easier than what I thought. And you know what? That's God. That's the Lord. Things aren't supposed to be like long and miserable and we just barely made it. Thankfully, by the skin of our teeth, if that's even a thing. We just made it. We were crawling, but we just made it. I hate that kind of theology. I hate that kind of Christianity where you're just barely getting by. You're just barely making it. You can have all that. I don't want that. It sucks to be in that position. And in fact, the more you read the word and the more you spend time with God, the more you realize, wait a minute, I don't have to be that way. I don't have to let this bring me down. The problems that are around me, they don't have to affect me, because I find my joy, I find my peace in God, and he's unchanging. So circumstances might change all around me. But what I know for sure is that God is good, and he's the perfecter and the finisher of my faith. And in him, I find my strength. In him, I find my joy, and I'll press into him because he's unchanging. Everything else will fail. Everything else will change. But I can count on this source, the source of God the Father, the blood of Jesus. But most people are like, no, I don't feel it. I don't feel that I have the victory. I don't know what to do. Do I just keep persisting? Am I to be? Did she even write that? Yeah, I know I have to just keep pressing on, right? And see, it's interesting that the second testimony that we received from Delilah, she said she was turning to friends, and they weren't really giving her godly advice. They were like, yo, run from him. But a true Christian, somebody that's full of the love of God, will have compassion and say, you know what? You fight for that. There's a covenant established in heaven between you and that person. So you fight. It's worth fighting for. It's worth it. It'll be worth it. I'm telling you right now, this might be a little blip on the radar, but in due season, you're going to see the wonder of your marriage manifest for the whole world to see. And it will be a blessing. And you know what? I just want everybody to know that the devil hates marriage. If you didn't know, now you know. Hi, Nelson. He hates that union. He hates it because it's covenant. And the weaker we make a covenant here in the flesh, the more we doubt the covenant of God. That's why the devil hates covenant, because he's like, if people know, if this is a covenant and I can easily come and infiltrate this marriage and mess it up, then their kids aren't going to believe a covenant with God. If a man and a woman who they look at each other, they see each other every single day, they can touch each other, they can hear each other. If I can come in there and break up that marriage and break up that union, how in the world are their children going to believe in a covenant with a God that they've never seen or heard or touched or smelled? So it's important for us to fight for the covenant of marriage, because that's why the devil hates it, because it makes him look stupid. It makes him look like an idiot. So you keep, that is the answer, Vivian. It is. You keep pressing on. But the problem that I had there was that you felt alone and like a hopeless situation. When you feel that way, it's because you need time in the Lord's presence. That's 100 times out of 100. And I can tell you right now that once you do make this something that's a daily occurrence, the presence of God, your number one priority. And that should be everyone's number one priority. And I know it can get muddled up, because you got to take the kids to work, to school. You got to go to work. You got to pick them up. You got to drive them to ballet. You got to drive them to soccer, football. You got to pick them up. You got prayer at night. You got a church service or whatever, which, even a church service, if it's not prayer. Our church is having prayer every night because of prayer and fasting. So that would be a good source for you to go and join. But even like a church service is not it's not the same as you spending time alone with the Lord. He said, I'll direct your ears will hear the voice of the Lord, or your ears will hear the voice from behind you saying, continue on. Make a left, make a right. That's the direction of the Holy Ghost. But it's your own ears will hear the voice of the Lord. Not, somebody done tell you this, like the pastor said that he heard from the so-and-so. My sister Mary said that she heard from the Lord about this situation in my life. No, God is saying, I want you to hear me. Just your ears. I want you to hear my voice. And this is how. By spending time in the secret place. That's my dog, if you didn't hear it. Actually, I think that's Nala. I don't think you heard it, but it is what it is. So what is persistency? Persistency, which I of course, looked up. Persistency is to continue steadily and firmly in the pursuit of any business or course commenced. To persevere. Now, of course, perseverance, like that's great, like that's ultimately when people think of persistence, they think of perseverance. But the difference between perseverance and persistence is this. Persist is nearly synonymous with perseverance, but persist frequently implies more obstinacy than persevere, particularly in that which is evil or injurious to others. So there's a perseverance, like we're just going to persevere. We're going to pull through and we're going to make it. We're going to do it with the help of the Lord. We persevere in the goodness of God and his promises to us. But then there's the persistency, which I want to talk to you about, which I read earlier today in 1 Samuel 17. 32, it says, "Don't worry about the Philistines," David said. David told Saul, "I'll go fight him." "Don't be ridiculous," Saul replied. There's that negative voice. "There's no way you can fight the Philistines and possibly win. You're only a boy, and he's been a man of war since his youth. They'll tell you that. It's an impossibility. It doesn't even matter what you're believing for right now. I can tell you right now, it ain't gonna happen. It's impossible. Don't even pray about it. Just walk away." And then in verse 34, which is what I want to address here, but David persisted. And it didn't say, but David persevered. No, he persisted. And that implies more obstinacy. And when someone's obstinate, it's, "I'm not moving. No, this is how it is. Mm-hmm. It's my way or the highway. There's a fight." And here it says it particularly implies that which is evil or injurious to others. We don't fight against flesh and blood, but there is a fight, and that is the fight of faith. And that's why persistency is key. It's a key element, because it's enough with this kind of stuff. You know what I mean? It's like, I just don't feel like God is hearing me. I don't feel, where is the fight in that? I don't hear it. I don't read it. I don't feel like God. I just feel alone. I feel and I feel and I feel like I should give up. I feel like I should quit. I feel like, I don't hear the voice of the Lord anymore. I feel and I feel and I feel. And persistency is never about a feeling. Persistency is an action, and it implies violence. It's saying, "I'm taking this by force," just like David said. He persisted. And if you think he said, "I've been taking care of my father's sheep and goats. When a lion or a bear comes to steal the lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it and jaw and club it to death." If you think he read it like that, you are grossly mistaken. When it says he persisted, there was a tenacity, there was an obstinacy. Are you kidding me? You talking about this Goliath like he's something? Are you kidding me? Let me tell you something here. When lions and bears would come over and try to attack my sheep, I would scare them off with a club. And if they would attack me, I'd turn on them and club them to death. That's what persistency is. I've done it to both lions and bears, and I'll do it again to this pagan Philistine too. For he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the claw of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this stupid Philistine. I added stupid, but I'm just saying. That's the kind of attitude we all should have in regards to the challenges in life. But too many of us are, "I don't feel God's presence, and I just don't know if this is going to work out." And it never will for you. It's until you start beginning to be persistent about the things of the Lord, persistent about a good report. You know, most people don't even want to hear that. Sadly, it's like they ask a question and they don't really even want that kind of an answer. They just want to be like, "You should walk away. He treated you badly. He lied to you. How dare he? You should slap him up and walk away." And you ain't going to get that answer from me unless he's abusing you. And if he's had sexual relationships with other people, maybe my mind would change. Maybe I'd come at this a little bit differently. But maybe I wouldn't. Even if he had an adulterous affair and you got children, it's worth the fight. At least fight for it. God could restore a marriage, man. He really could. I had another testimony and it said, you know, "God restored my marriage. What I thought was such an impossibility, God did. And he gave me a love for my spouse like I've never had before." That's the Lord. And that's worth fighting for. So to persist, that's something that, you know, that it implies there's got to be a violence about it. And the violent take it by force. Everything of God is laid up for anybody, but only the violent are going to go after it. Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season, say due season, we will reap if we don't give up. So you don't give up. That's the answer. You don't give up. In due season, you will reap. However, you can't give up. Don't grow weary in doing well. I know, Vivian, that you've been doing the right things, but now's not the time to give up. Listen, if you've been doing it for a couple of years, then you've come too far to give up now. So you might as well stick with it. It's really sad to know that, like, if you just would have stuck with it a little bit longer, you could have seen the results. You could have seen the manifestation of what it is that you've been praying for. But sadly, some people just bounce up out of here before payday, the day before payday. And they could have cashed in on that pretty little check, but they're like, I quit. I hate this job. I don't see the pay. I don't see what this is worth. And they gave up right before they were going to get paid. And it was a hefty, hefty, hefty paycheck. Luke 11, 9 and 10 says, and I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And to one who knocks, it will be opened. That's the guarantee that we have with the Lord. It doesn't matter what challenges you face in your marriage, in your home, in your business. If you seek after the Lord, and this is all about the seeking. Ask, seek, and you're going to find. All of those things are in the secret place. All of these things are going to be found when you spend time with the Lord. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone or some? Because lots of people think that says some. Some people ask and they receive. No, everyone who's persistent, everyone who keeps knocking will truly find. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. So you got to be persistent. Don't give up now. Do not give up now. Let me read you another scripture. And you're going to have to look this up because I did look it up on my printer, on my computer. And I did not print it out. Let me see. I'm looking up scriptures. Okay, it's James. And I should have known that since verse 1 says, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Duh. If he can use me, he can use you. Say that. If the Lord can use that girl, he can surely use me. Okay. James 1. It says, James 1:1. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 disciples. Or I'm sorry, to the 12 Hebrew tribes. This is the Amplified Version. Scattered abroad among the Gentiles in the dispersion. Greetings. He says, hello. All that just means, hey, what's up? Consider it nothing but joy, he says, my brothers and sisters, whenever you fall into various trials, be assured that the testing of your faith through experience produces endurance, leading to spiritual maturity and inner peace. And let endurance have its perfect result, and do a thorough work so that you may be perfect and completely developed in your faith, lacking in nothing. When you stand trials, when you stand the tests and the challenges, what is its purpose in your life? You got to find it. You got to find that purpose, because it's there to make you complete, to make you. And I'm not saying like challenges are what's going to like make you a more robust Christian. But you can bank on the fact that what the devil meant for harm, God will turn into good, and he will use it as ammunition against him. It's like, oh, you thought you had this? You thought that was a victory that was going to defeat me, that was going to knock me off my feet? But hey, here we are. It makes you complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom to guide him through a decision or circumstance, he's to ask our benevolent God, who gives to everyone generously and without rebuke or blame, and it will be given to him. But he must ask for wisdom and faith without doubting. God's willingness to help for the one who doubts is like a billowing surge of the sea that is blown about and tossed by the wind. For such a person ought not to think or expect that he will receive anything at all from the Lord. Being a double-minded man, unstable and restless in all his ways and everything he thinks, feels, or decides. That's the Amplified. And everything you think, feel, or decide, if you are restless or unstable or double-minded, let that man, the Bible says, expect to receive nothing. So that's where like, I don't know if I should even try anymore. No, you should. That's where that double mind comes into play. And it might look different for everybody. Maybe I should just give this up. I don't know what's the purpose of this. What you ought to know is what the Word of God has to say in regards to your success, in regards to your blessing, your marriage, all of that stuff. Because if there's an uncertainty in that area, then you will be like that wave that's tossed to and fro. And you'll be like that person that's unstable in all its ways. And what does it say? Don't expect anything from God, because he can't answer a prayer that you don't even know if there's a right answer to that. Or, you know, I don't know if I should fight for this marriage. No, you should. And until you continue in that doubt, you can't receive anything from the Lord. You need to be fixed. You need to be persistent. You need to be obstinate in regards to your blessing, in regards to your marriage. You got to put up a fight with it. It's worth it. Verse 12, blessed, happy, spiritually prosperous, favored by God is the man who is steadfast under trial and perseveres when tempted. For when he has passed the test and has been approved, he will receive the victor's crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Those who love me, what? Obey my commands. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God. For temptation doesn't originate from God, but from our own flaws. That stood out to somebody. I know it. It doesn't come from the Lord. All these things that you think are somehow coming. No. It comes from our own flaws. And it did not originate from God. For God cannot be tempted by what is evil. And he himself tempts no one. But each one is tempted when he's dragged away, enticed and baited to commit sin by his own worldly desires, lusts, and passions. Then, when the illicit desire has been conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin has run its course, it gives birth to death. Do not be misled, my beloved brothers and sisters. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, the creator and sustainer of the heavens, in whom there is no variance or variation, no rising or setting or shadow cast by his turning, for he is perfect and never changes. It was of his own will that he gave us birth as his children by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruit of his creatures, a prime example of what he created to be set apart to himself, sanctified, made holy for his divine purposes. Understand this, my beloved brothers and sisters. Let everyone be quick to hear. Be careful, thoughtful listeners, slow to speak, a speaker of carefully chosen words, and slow to anger, patient, reflective, forgiving. For the resentful and deep-seated anger of a man doesn't produce the righteousness of God, that standard of behavior which he requires from us. So get rid of all uncleanliness or uncleanness and all that remains of wickedness. And with a humble spirit, receive the word of God, which is implanted, actually rooted in your heart, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves to be doers of the word, actively and continually obeying God's precepts, persistently obeying God's precepts, and not merely listeners who just hear the word but fail to internalize its meaning, deluding yourselves by unsounding reasoning contrary to the truth. For if anyone only listens to the word without obeying it, he is like a man who looks very carefully at his natural face and in the mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he immediately forgets what he looked like. But he who looks carefully into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and faithfully abides by it, not having become a careless listener who forgets, but an active doer who obeys, we will be blessed and favored by God in what he does in this life of obedience. That's the answer. You got to be persistent. You got to keep at it. There's so much in there. It's not even funny. So much in there. Don't just merely listen. Don't don't be a reactionary Christian. You react to the problem instead of listening and being patient and internalizing the truth. I love that about the Amplified. Don't be just a mere listener who hears the word but fails to internalize its meaning. Internalize the word of God. Make it real for you. Make it something that you can apply to yourself. And that's what I've been trying to do these past few days, is for you to get the word of God in your spirit so that you can start internalizing its truth and its value within yourself, so that you can go ahead and do what it's commanded you to do. And one of those things is to not grow weary in well-doing, to not give up, to be persistent, to walk in love, to understand that this is something that's being, it's an attack, and it's not, it's an attack that's not orchestrated by the Lord, because he's perfect. There's no shadow of turning. There's no darkness in him. He's 100% light. He's 100% good. And in fact, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. So if it's not good, then you know it didn't come from him. So quit trying to put it on God and saying, like, is it even worth? No, it is worth it, because I didn't send that trial. I didn't send that problem your way. So that's one thing we got to learn as believers, is that we have the answer. We carry the answer to every one of life's problems. And we overcome those things by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, by Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says, as I am, so are you. So I send you. That's the words of Jesus. As I am here in the flesh, so I send you. That's the blood that that's what was given to us. So we're not just walking around here like cute little Christians and like, I just believe in Jesus. Hallelujah. The devil's been beating the crap out of me, but you know what I mean? I'm going to get through someday. Someday. No, the Bible says, I've given you everything to equip you in this life that you lack nothing. And so what are you going to do with it? And so the answer isn't to give up and quit. And the answer surely isn't to be lonely. And the answer surely isn't to just, walk away from it all. He said, I've given you the answer. Now pursue it. Be persistent and be dogmatic about it. Just go after it like never before. I'm going after it. I'm going to get my answer. Just like these ladies that's why I read those powerful testimonies. Because they implemented these things. And what was seemingly the end, a hopeless scenario, a hopeless situation, they implemented the truth of the Lord, made it practical for their life. That's the whole point of this thing, is making the word of God practical for you. This is not some magical force. It's not like fairy dust. It's something that you can implement in your life, and the Holy Spirit will direct you and guide you and give you practical steps to go about doing it where you thought, there's no way I would have thought that. I wouldn't have done it that way. But the Holy Ghost knew, and it's the most effective way. And it happens so quickly. It's unbelievable. And that'll be your testimony. It happened so fast. It turned around so quickly. And someone even wrote in today's broadcast, God turns everything around for your good. But the Bible says that and for the good of those who love me. Not everybody might say that they're a believer, but not everybody loves God. And you know that they don't love God because they don't spend time with him. They don't make him a priority. Because those who love me obey my commands. And when they love me, they spend time in my word. And the Bible actually guarantees that when you love God, not only do you spend time in his word, he's there. He comes to you. His presence shows up when you love him and you spend time with him in his word and obey his word and obey his commands. That's a promise made from the Lord to you. So if you feel like you're having a rough go at it, it's because of that. So you need to make that a priority. There's not enough prayer that's going to do that from anybody else. That's something that it's you have to do it. That battle between David and Goliath was orchestrated for the betterment of David. Nobody else was going to do that. They would have been there still today. But God positioned David and he said, go and take that. And when you do, when you take that the head off of that giant, watch the breakthrough come in your life. And you know what? That's what started him on his journey to being king. That even to this day, Israel still considers David its king. After all of these years, I don't think years has a D in it. After all of these years, David is still considered the king of Israel. And it's because he did something that nobody else would do. And that right there, the struggle, the battle, if you see it in those eyes, wait a minute, this is something that's actually going to benefit me. I know it doesn't seem like it, but this is going to benefit me. This is going to fuel my fire. This is going to open up a new legacy for my family. This is going to open up a new realm of blessing for me and my family. This is going to open up me up to a new level in life. If you change your perspective, I can't wait to do that. I can't wait to teach on perspective because it's like so important for a believer. Once you change your perspective, everything else changes. But you have to have the desire to see it in that way, to see it in a good way, where it's like, hey, this sucks right now, but it's going to be good. And so once you get there, that's when everything changes. So I encourage you. I don't mess this thing up. I encourage you to stay with it because the blessing is right on the other side of that fight. But make no mistake about it, you got to fight. You got to fight for it. Everything that's worth something is worth the fight, ain't it? So I love you. That's it for the podcast. Hope you like it. Hope you share it. If you are facing some kind of challenges, I recommend for you to go on our podcast, the Revival Today podcast, and subscribe to that, or visit us online, Facebook, YouTube, Jonathan Shuttlesworth, Adala Shuttlesworth. We love you. Make sure you send us those questions. They're awesome. I love you. God bless you. Peace.
Hey, this is Jonathan Shuttlesworth. I want to thank you for listening to my podcast, or if you're listening to my wife's, thank you on her behalf. If you want to be more than just a casual listener and stand with us as we take the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to our generation, go to revivaltoday.com and click Give Now and be a part of the 1,000 monthly partners that we're believing for. I have a special gift that I'll send to you today, and I'll say thank you in advance. Until next time, thanks for listening. See you later.